Thanks for tuning in to the Sporting Goods 365. I am your sports guru, Steve Hartley. We got a huge show on tap today. We got some great sports topics we're going to get into. But first, this show is a little different because my homegirl, co-host, Miss Mullins, ain't here with me. She had a great speaking engagement yesterday for the Yellow Sky Foundation, which is dealing with domestic violence and moving past it. And she, you know, a little under the weather today. Miss, get well. I'll see you in a minute. This show is dedicated to you. But in her place, I have my boy, former Ohio State Buckeye. And I meant to tell him, but he can't be flashing that ring around in the studio like this. Jamal Luke, what's going on with you, man?
What's going on, Steve? Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. I think you know a little bit about sports, so this will be fun.
Oh, we're going to have some fun today for sure.
Man, we got a great show, like I said, on tap. We're going to talk about the untimely passing of a New York Knick legend, Anthony Mason. You know, he recently passed, and I believe they already had his home going. We're going, you know, do a little reflection on his career and, you know, what he meant to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Chip Kelly, he's stirring up some stuff in Philadelphia, and I want to see what you feel about that. I got my own opinion about that. But, his job is on the line.
Let's just say that.
And Syracuse, Jim Boeheim got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. I want to talk about that a little bit, man. I think that's something that I think ain't really being talked about like it would, it should be.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, this is major, and it kind of just is being swept under the rug. 25 years ago, March 4th, 1990, we lost a legend. Well, a potential legend. I hate to use that word so willy-nilly.
Right.
We lost a potential legend in Loyola Marymount's Hank Gathers.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little reflection also about his career. He had some huge numbers, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
monster.
Sometimes you got to sit back and look and see what. And his story gets sadder by the minute.
It does.
We're going to talk about that. What would Steve do? I am AP. What would I do? You know, he going through everything with Minnesota and being reinstated, and he's living in Texas. I'm going to tell him what he should do, and he should really listen to me.
Right.
If you know him,
tune in, AP.
I'm going to reach out to him, and I hope he gets this. And I want to also talk about Beast Mode. You know, I love my football. He signed a contract.
He got some money.
We going to see how, if it really benefited him. Is his antics, as some people call him, profitable?
Right.
Well, let's get this thing started. Knicks at Ford Anthony Mason passed a few days ago, unfortunately, due to congestive heart failure. Anthony Mason had a 13-year NBA career.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Give me some reflection on Anthony Mason.
Well, Steve, when I think of Anthony Mason, I think of a guy that epitomized the word toughness. Very vividly remember being a Chicago Bulls fan myself. I remember Anthony Mason as just being a hard-nosed, do anything for his teammates type of guy. And it seemed like off the court, he was a completely different person. Obviously, I didn't know him personally, but it seemed like he was a genuine, heartfelt guy off the court.
And can't forget the haircut.
Right. Oh yeah. The stitching and the hair. He came fresh every game.
Wow. You know what? I wasn't a big fan of that.
Right.
I didn't like it, man. I thought he looked foolish.
You know what? Back in the day, I think because of my age at that time, being a middle school guy, and I always wanted that haircut, but my dad said the same thing, and I could never get it.
It seemed like with the money he had, he should have been able to get a better barber. Somebody that could have made that crisp.
Right, a little sharper.
You know, I was never Anthony Mason. I didn't dislike him. Like, I don't like you personally. He was the type of player that if he played on your team, you loved him.
You loved him.
But when he came to your arena in the opposing uniform.
Oh, man, you hated him. You wanted him to get kicked out the game.
You wanted him. You know, and they played in a different era. You know, with the Anthony Masons and the Charles Oakleys.
Right.
They banged a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a little bit is an understatement. They banged.
Yeah.
And he was, like you said, the epitome of toughness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, Googling. Check out some of that footage.
Right.
It's classic. You know, I feel sorry for his son. He has a son, I believe his name is Anton, that's a senior that plays basketball at Auburn.
At Auburn University, and I think he's got a older son, Anthony Mason Jr., who played collegiately. Can't remember what school he went to, but he was also a college athlete.
Got to be tough on them, yeah, man. Our prayers really go out to them, not to just because you lose a parent, because you lose. Believe me, they played basketball because their dad was Anthony Mason.
Oh, absolutely.
So he was a direct influence. Mm-hmm. On the court, in their lives.
Right.
So I really, my heart and my prayers go out to their families. Chip Kelly, he's stirring up something in Philly.
Yeah, he is. And honestly, I like what Chip Kelly's doing, because here's the thing. I look at it as if you're going to win, you want to win with your handprint, so to speak, on the team. If you're going to lose, you want to go down knowing that you did it your way, and that's what Chip Kelly's doing. Yeah, it increases the pressure on him, but he's saying, you know what, I want to take ownership of this thing, and if we win, it's going to be because of me. If we lose, it's going to be because of me, and I respect that.
I get that. But he's a first-year NFL, well, second-year NFL coach.
Just finished his second,
yep. Just finished. Yep. No prior NFL experience, correct. If I'm correct.
Yep.
You know, he has the Philadelphia Eagles organization put a lot of responsibility on him.
That they did.
They gave, you know, he's pretty much football operations. He's the man about football.
Right.
And for him to get rid of, you know, first you got rid of DeSean Jackson.
Right.
Last year. I hear he might have been somewhat of a locker room distraction.
Right.
Okay. I get that. But I played a lot of football like you as well. Sometimes you learn to live with locker room distractions.
Right.
The locker room isn't an office setting.
Correct.
So the way that people thinking of a distraction in an office setting isn't the same distraction as a locker room.
Right. And here's the thing with that, though, Steve, is that you live with the distraction based on the value you deem that person bringing to the table.
So you put up numbers.
Right. A good example, though, is the lineman they just released, I don't want to mispronounce his name, Hermanes, I believe.
Okay.
The Eagles just released him. He stated that Chip Kelly puts more value on the offensive line and the quarterback than he does a running back and a receiver.
I heard that.
So obviously with the distractions that he felt D-Jack was bringing to the locker room, he didn't deem it worth, you know, putting up with those distractions based on the value he places on the wide receiver position. And you contrast that with a Pete Carroll out in Seattle and the distractions that maybe a Marshawn Lynch, who we'll get into a little later, brings to the locker room. Well, Pete Carroll puts more of a value on that running back position, so he's like, well, I'm willing to deal with that because I know the value I place on what you bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a little bit on that on Pete Carroll, but I see it a little different. But with Chip Kelly, you know, not only – okay, I get it. Get rid of DeSean Jackson, you know, to make a statement. But you get rid of a guy like LeSean McCoy from Pennsylvania area, Philadelphia. Right. Not sure. I know he's from PA.
Right, yeah.
Never played outside of PA.
Right, you're right.
Little League in PA. Yeah. High school ball in PA. Went to Pitt University in Pitt. Went to the Philadelphia Eagles. Honestly, living a dream for me.
Oh, yeah.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Someplace that he obviously loves.
Right.
You get rid of him.
Right.
Okay, I get it. You know, he has a little, you know, you probably could get someone with a little cheaper.
Right, yeah.
Because he was still making, I believe, to the upwards of $12 million.
Yeah, he was going to be a pretty penny this year.
And he didn't have the type of year that he had the previous year.
Right.
But that don't mean it was a bad year.
Oh, no. 1,300 yards is never bad.
And I'm pretty sure he was a locker. They kind of liked him in the locker room.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't, you know, I understand Chip kept. I think the thing that's hurting, that I can't get past is in college football is a coaches-driven league. The coaches are the stars.
Correct. Yeah, definitely.
That's not the NFL. You're going to lose a lot of players that would have came there. Because of this.
Potentially. Because you look at a guy like Bill Belichick. He is the New England Patriots. And he makes a lot of questionable decisions from the outside looking in. but he continues to win. So that's the thing with Chip Kelly. He's come in, he's shown he's won, you know, 10 plus games every his first 2 years with quote unquote not his guys. So his thing is, I want to win with my guys, and he obviously feels he can get that done, and we'll see this year. I mean, this is going to be a big
year for
him.
Bill Bellamy comparison is pretty close. But the one thing I can say about Bill Belichick, or some people call him Belichick, he had NFL experience.
That's true.
You know, I believe that this is – Chip Kelly better do something right because his career is on the line.
This is a big year for Chip Kelly.
He's trying to put his – the next couple years, because they're not going to get rid of him just this year.
No.
So he has a couple years.
Yeah, he can – if the ship goes down this year, he'll lose that locker room, though.
And once he loses the locker room, his time is gone.
Yeah.
Wish you the best, man.
Right. We shall see. It'll be fun watching, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
Over a couple nice ice-cold waters.
Syracuse got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, it seems like.
Yes, they did.
Jim Boeheim, where did this come from?
Wow. I'm speechless on that one. I had no idea. You know, and I guess nowadays.
I tell everybody, if you stick a magnifying glass
on any university
in this country, you'll find a violation.
You're absolutely right.
You'll find a violation.
I guess it's still always shocking. I guess in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, even though we've been there, played at that level, we know what goes on, you're still thinking, no, not this guy. No, yeah. Not that guy.
I'm a Syracuse fan, I guess. I enjoy watching them play.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't watch Syracuse as much because I get bored with the zone.
Right.
And that's what they're known for.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
But he's had a lot of success with it. So I hold Jim Boeheim a little under Coach K.
Right.
You know, they're in the same, they can sit at the same table.
Right, absolutely.
But I believe it was Friday. He was suspended for 9 games with the problem was academic, and I just found out this, drug and other violations.
Yeah. Yeah. They altering drug tests and changing grades and
wow. They've taken 100 and some odd games. They suspended him the first 9 games of the ACC season.
Mm-hmm.
Those players and all the infractions were pretty much 2004 to 2007. And it doubled back 2010 and 2012.
Right.
That's big, man.
Yeah. And
that affects recruiting. That affects everything.
I think what is really troubling is that this is a consistent pattern for several. I mean, we're talking 10 years. And,
like, you've been cheating and we just caught you.
Right. So my thing is, you know, what was the NCAA doing 8 years ago? You know, were they like, all right, we're gonna ride this thing out and see if it changes over the next few years, or, you know, were they turning a blind eye? And I think that's the bigger issue, is that the NCAA as a whole and the way that college athletics is ran needs to be overhauled.
I mean, that
it's
yeah.
not working. Yeah, the system is not working.
Yeah, in November. Jim Boeheim was on CBS This Morning,
mm-hmm.
and he said, we had a problem with the NCAA over some tutoring and other things, and that can happen. But it obviously was more than that.
Right.
Is this an instance that Syracuse University should cut all ties with Jim Boeheim? Considering everything that he's done for this university, all the money he's brought in, all the wins. He got a national championship with Melo.
Right.
But he's been cheating for 10 years.
Right. In my opinion, I would, if I was running the show, I would cut ties with him simply for a fact of the statement I want to make, the standard I want to set for my program. Now, it goes back again to, like we were just talking about, what standard are you placing value on? So, you know, are they more...
These sanctions were the sanctions that pretty much the school sanctioned.
Right, exactly.
And the NCAA said, okay, that's cool.
Now, if they want to send a message, if they want to say, this is our standard...
Firing.
Right. You have to send that message that this behavior will not be tolerated. This is our standard, and you have to match this standard if you want to lead our young men.
But in the same breath, do they owe him something? Do they owe him another shot for all he's done? You have to, I mean, just because, okay, it's been 10 years, but do they deserve, he deserves another chance? I mean, you know, we live in a country that we get second chances.
10 years, Steve. That's a long time.
This is now something that's never, 10 years.
Right. I could see if this was a, you know, this is an incident that happened. You know, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We all make mistakes. But when something has been going on for a decade, that's a consistent pattern of behavior.
Yeah, you're cheating.
Yeah, you're just cheating, and you finally got caught. So they got to send them. If I'm running the show, I'm sending a message. We don't tolerate a decade worth of cheating.
And what I seen was they had a game. I believe it was last night. And after the game,
yeah,
he pulled the punk move.
Right.
I don't want to talk.
Right.
Now, what happens if a player would have done that?
Right. Exactly. And that,
you can't pull your skirt down, Jim. If you did it,
man up
and address the media. They're not going
to
stop.
And that's, you know, as the leader of the program, you would like to see your guy take ownership and man up.
Would you want your child to play?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You don't think?
Not.
Players love him. That don't mean he's not a good coach. That don't mean.
I'm sure he's a great basketball coach, but what is he going to teach my young son about life? It's okay to do it as long as you don't get caught. That's not the standard I want for my son.
Because
basketball is going to end at some point.
At some point, it's over. 25 years ago, March 4th, 1990, we lost a potential legend in Hank Gathers. We were speaking off air. You said you remember you were in middle school.
I was 8 years old when that happened.
Oh yeah, you weren't even. Yeah,
I was a young buck. I was a young buck, but
you just made me feel old.
I remember I wasn't watching that game when he passed away, but I remember watching SportsCenter and seeing the highlight of it. Yeah. And then I remember the run that Loyola Marymount went on in the NCAA tournament and Bo Kimble shooting the left-handed free throws in honor of him.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think maybe 2 years or so after that, there was a movie that came out about his life, and that's when I really got a chance to see the behind-the-scenes story of Hank Gathers. And, man, it's just such a sad, sad story.
Yeah, and that's me. 1990, I was a sophomore at Linden. I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Loyola Marymount because they put up a massive amount of points.
Right.
But Hank Gathers was a phenomenal talent.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 6'7", 220. You know, out of the projects of North Philly.
Right.
Come up with a single mother of three boys. He's the only one to graduate. He's the only one that was, I guess I'm assuming education was important to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was more important to his mother.
Right.
The only reason that he went back for his senior years to fulfill his promise of education to his mom.
Wow. Yes.
You know, Loyola Marymount averaged 112 points a game. He led the nation in scoring, averaging 32.7 points and averaging 13.7 rebounds.
A monster. That's what we call a certified monster on the court. What could he have translated into at the next level? God only knows.
You know, it reminds me of a Lynn Bias.
Right.
A super potential and never got to make it. But what I found out now, I didn't know back in 90, I don't remember, was 3 months prior to his death, he was diagnosed with an irregular heartbeat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he collapsed before.
Now, I do remember that. I do remember him collapsing.
December 9th.
Right.
That was first time, 84.
Right. And then I remember him getting cleared to play. And as an 8-year-old, I remember, man, that guy almost died and now he's playing again. And I thought that was weird. And then unfortunately, you know, the next time it happened, that was it.
It's amazing to me. And we were speaking on this off air as well about you know, we lose a star, like 13-year NBA veteran. I won't call him a superstar, a real great player.
Right.
Teammate in Anthony Mason to congestive heart failure.
Right.
Then we lose a 6'7 monster.
Right.
220 to a Hank Gathers to an irregular heartbeat. These are, you know, I say that because we as athletes.
We think we're invincible.
Not even that. We train hard, man.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
You know, you can say what you want about an athlete. They're in some of the best shape of your life.
Absolutely.
They're in tip-top physical condition.
Right.
And for this to happen to them.
Right.
It's sad.
It makes you realize that each and every day you cannot take for granted. I know we hear that a lot, but these stories are reminders to love those family members and friends that are close to you. You know, love every walk in love, cherish each and every moment because you just don't know when it's your time.
And go for your dreams, man.
Absolutely,
we ain't got no time to play.
No regrets.
Life is too short. If it's something that you believe in and it's something that you love, go get it. You deserve to give yourself the opportunity for success.
Absolutely.
What would Steve do? Let me get you hip to this. This is a segment that I put myself in a professional athlete, an entertainer, a general manager, somebody that's going through it, good and bad position.
Right.
And I'll tell you what I would do.
Okay.
I am always right.
Let me check you out, Steve.
I'm always right. I'm batting 100%.
Now, would your wife agree that you're always right?
Yes. She's not on. Yes. 100%, yes. Yes. I believe she. I have my wife, my beautiful wife's support. I am AP, Adrian Peterson. What I'm doing? I've been reinstated to the NFL for excessive discipline to my child. It was excessive. But in the same breath, we grew up in different eras.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, people got whooped with switches.
Right.
As bad as.
Couple times.
Oh, yeah. As bad as, you know, I mean, people got whooped with extension cords. I mean, discipline was a way of life from the way his parents were raised, and I could see the way he raised his
right.
child.
Right.
Now, we're living in a different era, and that's deemed unacceptable.
Right.
But I will say this. I believe that if his son's mother, because that's not the woman he's married
right.
with, knew that the backlash would come prior, she wouldn't have said nothing.
Right. I agree.
Because she didn't want all this to happen because she believes he's a good dad.
Right.
But I have a problem. The governor of Minnesota talked bad about me. It's hard to play for an organization that truly don't want me. Now they want me. They want to cut all ties from me. But now, you're welcome. Come back to help us play. I've already got Jerry Jones with a tampering charge for talking dirty right. to me. I live in Texas. Cut your ties, AP. Cut your ties, man. You're not welcome there no more. You're more than, they loved you when you were big, but when you made a mistake or what they deemed was a mistake, they did you wrong. Cut your ties.
Let me play devil's advocate here. What about the message you want to send not only to kids out there, but also your own kids of when you feel wronged or you've been disrespected, do you still walk in love and do you still honor your responsibilities from a standpoint of technically he's still under contract with Minnesota.
Yeah.
So how much of a impact and a message could he send to kids out there and his own kids of, yeah, I've been disrespected. Yeah, I've been wronged. But as a man, this is my contract. I'm going to uphold my responsibilities to the best of my ability. And I'm preparing you for in life when somebody disrespects you or wrongs you, you still man up and you do what you're supposed to do. How about sending that message?
Okay. I mean, I get it. I mean, yeah, that may be, you know, I never thought about it like that because I looked at it as with professional sports, you're your own brand.
Yes, that's
true.
And
I feel like RG3, you know, not even to drag him into this, but he focused too much on his brand.
Mm-hmm.
AP is really not that type of person, and he really focused on his football.
Right.
He didn't have too many issues off the field. You know, he wasn't suspended for PEDs, and he wasn't a bad person.
Right.
So what he could do is worry about him. Because at the drop of the hat, the NFL could say, I'm through with you. And you know, that's not guaranteed money.
That's true. That is very true. That's very true. And that's the reality of the NFL beast, is they can cut you, but you can't cut them, so to speak, as a player.
Is it fair for his teammates, just, you know, because, you know, now we're living in an era of social media. You know, some games he comes back, it's going to be protests at the stadium.
Right.
You know, now you got your teammates going through this because of something that you did in your household.
Right.
Some deemed inappropriate, some deemed excessive, some deemed as criminal.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's a, you know, it's a tricky situation.
Cut your ties, AP. Cut your ties, man. You already have a home in Texas, even if you don't go to the Cowboys. And I'm just not saying that because I'm a Cowboy fan, and I am. I like Dallas.
Oh, so there's a little bit of bias here.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
But the truth comes out.
Even if you don't go to Dallas, go somewhere else, man. Get you a fresh start. That, to me, that's like a Ray Rice still playing in Baltimore. Which I think Baltimore would have loved to have him back. But you can't, you know. Sometimes you make us, this is the thing about an organization. Their reputation is on the line as well. Sometimes they have to make a stance with the person that they love. A.E. Atlanta Falcons, Michael Vick. He lied to the owner. I have to cut you.
Right.
I love you, but I have to cut you.
Mm-hmm.
I write you while you're in prison, but I have to sever my ties with you.
Right. Again, I definitely understand that. I'm just more of the making a lifelong impact and message. And I think AP has a tremendous opportunity to send the message of owning up to your responsibilities and continuing to walk in love in spite of being wronged. And he has an opportunity to send that message. And I think overall, that message is more important than, you know, getting ticked off and saying I want out of here. That's the I can't fault him if he does
that. That is the easy way.
But
out.
It's the easy thing to do. You know, it's the easy thing to do.
I don't
want to
be here no more. Go sit in the corner.
Right.
I'm taking all my toys.
Right.
And
Game over.
I'm unplugging my game.
Right.
And I'm going home.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the easy way out.
And if he stays there and he chooses to honor his contract, I mean, man, he's going to make $12 million this year. Shoot. I can take $12 million.
That's the same amount of money that, I mean, if he goes somewhere, he'll get 8 to 10. He's not hurting for money.
Oh, absolutely not.
He's not hurting for money. Let's stay on the NFL. Beast Mode got him some money.
Yeah, he did. Yes,
so
he did.
So are these antics working? I believe they're only working because he's in Seattle with Pete Carroll.
Agreed. Agreed. And again, it goes back to, like we talked about earlier, what the value that is placed on that position. So they're willing to put up with the antics. And it's no different than, you know, Dennis Rodman when he was on the Bulls. They placed a value on that defensive rebounder. And,
did he wear a dress?
And
he, you know what I'm saying? Anything was possible. I mean, I get it. I'm a big Marshawn Lynch fan. I like him. I respect the fact that he chooses not to speak to the media. You want to, that's his choice.
Right.
And now pretty much he's gotten, it seems like he's speaking to everyone but the media.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's got a movie that looked a little about his life. It looked like a low-budget Boys in the Hood.
I haven't seen that yet.
No, you know, I just seen a little picture of a trailer, and he said he wasn't happy with it. I understand. I mean, I get it.
Looked like he filmed it with your iPhone.
Yeah, really. But, I mean, I get it. And he's more of a hands-on person. If you like me, come sit down and talk to me. And
right.
Develop that relationship with me. So I get that. But that's just not what I would do.
Right.
But he's making money. He's getting paid for it.
He is. He's definitely reaping the the benefits of his hard work, and I won't say it's his antics necessarily that's getting him paid, because
should
I think
they just leave him alone.
I think it's an unfortunate situation. You know, it's always hard to speak on a guy and his antics, so to speak, when you don't know him personally. So I always kind of tread lightly on there. But from the outside looking in, you know, I think he's obviously one of the top five running backs in the league without question. Obviously, he doesn't feel comfortable talking to the media. But
that's his job.
That's his job. And I would just like to see, man, from coming from where he,
good one.
Coming from where he comes from, and you know, we come from similar type of areas as well as from where Marshawn came from. There's not a lot of role models that young black males have to look up to, and I just think he's in a position where he could send so much more of a message to those coming from where he came from. And, you know, with the crotch grabs and,
things like that.
It's just unfortunate that the message isn't coming across as it could to those that come from those type of backgrounds. And I hope maybe that'll change as he continues to grow and mature, and he has awesome opportunity to make a huge impact on a lot of young men from that community.
Yeah, not to change the subject, but I just seen some somewhat breaking news, and I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, what's up?
New York Jets and former Tennessee Titan running back Chris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot last night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right now he's in a stable condition after being. I'm reporting this information off of ESPN NFL, so you can go to ESPN NFL to get this information. He was shot in the shoulder of a drive-by shooting in Orlando at an intersection about 4 o'clock in the morning. We'll talk about that in a minute, because wow. I've always heard my whole life nothing good goes on after 12, but to each his own.
Right.
And another guy, Reggie Johnson. The driver of the vehicle, I really can't pronounce his name, was killed.
Hmm.
Sad scenario.
Wow.
It just takes your breath away that, you know, some people are, wow, man, it seems that you have your whole life in front of you, and next thing you know,
that's unfortunate,
this
man.
This is truly unfortunate. And no arrests have been made. So definitely my prayers are going out to him.
Yes.
You know, he was just recently released by the Jets.
Right.
You know, wow.
And y'all, you know, when you hear things like that, you always kind of wonder what's the background.
Yeah.
You know, odds are it wasn't just them sitting in the car and somebody rolled up on them and
said, hey, look. Hey.
Right. Start popping. So that's a sad situation.
Speechless. On a lighter note, Ndamukong Suh's out of here, man.
I see
that. It seems that he's headed to the Sunshine State of Florida, Miami, the Dolphins. Is that a good fit for him?
Well, for him and his bank account, absolutely. For the Miami Dolphins, you look at teams. It's so funny how the free agency situation works, and it's almost like GMs do not follow the footsteps or the pattern of success.
No.
So
everybody wants to be an innovator.
Right. Exactly. And here's the thing. Ndamukong Suh is going to get $114 million to play for the Miami Dolphins.
Give or take.
When was the last Super Bowl champion to have a $114 million defensive tackle playing for him? I rest my case.
I feel like if he would have cut down some, I thought that Detroit could have done something. I've always thought Detroit was a good team. They had all the pieces, but they never seemed to put it together.
And I don't blame them for letting him walk. There's no way.
That frees up a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to pay a defensive tackle. The same thing with J.J. Watt. Incredible football player, probably the best defensive end in the National Football League, but I'm not going to pay him quarterback money because a quarterback money paid defensive end is not going to win me a Super Bowl. That's the bottom line.
NFL money is not guaranteed anyway.
It's not.
So right. I can say I give you a 10-year contract for $500 billion, and after 1 year, you know, like incentive-based and
– Right. But it's also taking that type of money, the part that is guaranteed, so the signing bonus or –
Yeah. He's going to get a lump of it.
Right. That's taking away money from value positions that can really win you a Super Bowl. You know, I don't. You know, is Ryan Tannehill the answer at quarterback for Miami? They may need a quarterback here in the future, but you got 114 or whatever the guarantee is tied up with in a D tackle.
I like Ryan Tannehill. I said, you know, I'm on record saying that I thought that Cleveland should have got rid of Josh Gordon and maybe Johnny Manziel in both for Tannehill.
Oh, really? Okay. All
that
right.
Been, I think that could have worked.
Well, he definitely it would be an upgrade over over what my Browns have right now. But
yeah,
man,
don't
put me in depression mode, Steve. We'll leave the Browns alone for today.
Let's talk about you, man. Former Ohio State. Go ahead, toot your own horn. Former Ohio State Buckeye. You got the big ring on. We're going to take a picture of that. I'll make sure I put that all over social media. Tell me about it. How was your experience with Ohio State? The ups and the downs, and how was your experience? Explain to me. Talk.
It was a dream come true, Steve. You know, very fortunate, very blessed to have lived out my dream. You know, growing up in Columbus, I think it's every young man's dream to that plays football to want to be an Ohio State Buckeye football player, and my dream was no different.
I did.
My story is one that when I tell it now, it almost, you know, kind of amazes me of how things unfolded, but it's really a testament to having faith and putting God first and not giving up on your dream. So, you know, I graduated from Beechcroft High School right here in Columbus, wasn't highly recruited. Coming out, you know, I was a wide receiver, and I think my senior year we probably threw the ball maybe 5 to 6 times a game, and, you know, that doesn't bode well for going D1 as a receiver.
You need some catches.
Yeah, absolutely. So I ended up having an offer to walk on at Ohio State coming out of Beechcroft. However, my pride and ego got in the way, and I was like, you know, I want to go somewhere I know I'm going to play, and they want me and all that stuff.
And
so
paid
I ended up,
education.
Right, exactly. I ended up taking a Division II offer up at Tiffin University.
Not too far from me and BG.
Yeah, yep, not too far at all. And played there my freshman season. After the season was over with in mid-November.
You had some success in Tiffin?
I had some decent success. Played on some special teams, returning kicks, and kind of got my feet wet. It was very beneficial from learning the college game.
Yeah. Even at that level.
Even at that level, absolutely. And when I came home for Christmas break, this is funny, came home for Christmas break my freshman year, so this is like late November, early December of 1999, I decided at that moment that I was going to live out my dream and transfer to Ohio State and walk onto the team. And I had no idea if that was going to happen or not, but that was a decision I made. So I called my coaches at Tiffin, told them what I was going to do. They immediately took my scholarship away. they wished me the best of luck. And then
you are no longer on scholarship.
Right, exactly. So from there, you know, and I kind of did this backwards, hindsight, you know, but I was just in the moment chasing my dream. I you know, kind of sometimes you do that with reckless abandon. So after I made that call to my coaches at Tiffin, I then called the coaches at Ohio State to see if they would still allow me to walk on. And they said, well, we can't promise you anything, but you're going to have to get in school first and then come talk to us. So then I call the academic offices at OSU, and they tell me, well, it's too late for you to get in school for winter quarter, because they were on quarter system at the time. You're going to have to come talk to us in March. So now I'm sitting at home, Christmas break, freshman in college, no school to go to, not guaranteed to play football ever again.
From an athlete standpoint, not getting better.
Not getting better, absolutely. So I decided to go to Columbus State for that winter quarter so I could keep up on my academics. So I went to Columbus State, was there from January to March, got in Ohio State for spring quarter in March. So I was at three schools in a matter of about 6 months my first year in college. You talk about a whirlwind. Get to Ohio State in March, talk to the coaches. They said, well, we still can't make any promises. You're going to have to wait till school starts in the fall, and then we may let you try out just based on our numbers. So obviously not what I wanted to hear. So from March till school started in September, I trained completely on faith.
Did you work out in the facilities?
No, I was totally I wasn't allowed to be involved with the team whatsoever. Now, I would go to spring practice and just watch, but, you know, I couldn't sit in on meetings. I couldn't work out with the team. I was completely detached, training on faith on my own, just, you know, knowing that at some point I was going to get an opportunity on faith. So come fall, September, you know, camp starts in August, so I missed all of camp. They were already 4 or 5 weeks into the season at that point. And I go to talk to the coaches the first week of classes in September. And they said, okay, we're going to bring in 10 walk-ons. And we're going to bring you in. And you guys have got 1 week to show us what you can do. And so this is September of 2000, Coach Cooper's last season. Mm-hmm. So that 1 week turned into the next 4 years of my life, man. Made the team, didn't look back, ended up playing on some special teams. You know, won a national championship my junior season. Unfortunately, Coach Cooper got fired, but it was a blessing in disguise because Coach Tressel came in. I had a fresh start, worked my way up the depth chart as a receiver, and got a chance to play for one of the most impactful coaches and mentors in my life, and Coach Tressel.
Yeah, I hear everybody that that I hear loves Coach Tressel.
Man, he's an incredible man.
I hear every incredible man. Maurice Claret has been speaking highly of him his whole entire career.
Right.
You know, Tressel. I love Tressel. I love Tressel. So I've always heard big things about Coach.
He's a great man. I mean, I could call him about anything I've got going on in my life, and he's always there for his guys.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
We winding down here, man. We had a great show today. But before we get out of here, Jameis Winston, probably going to be the first pick in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter account cut off. Smart move.
He shut it down, huh?
Smart move. I think it's the smartest move that he could have possibly made. I'm loving the way he's doing things, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, perception is reality. And I think whether he actually wanted to shut it down or not, it gives off the perception that I am totally focused on my craft and becoming the best football player and the leader of an organization. That's the perception that gives off. So that's going to go a long way.
I think he's going to be a star.
I do, too. He's got all the tools.
I think he's going to be a star. I don't care about him running the 4.95. Oh, first of all, man, my quarterback ain't.
Yeah.
I don't need Mike Vick. See how that works.
Right.
But I really like what he does. You know, I've heard his combine stuff. Some coaches, scouts said his numbers are as high as Peyton Manning's. I can believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. IQ, from what I understand, is off the charts. And I've seen him. I've been fortunate to see some of his chalk talk where he's drawing up plays and talking coverages. And, man,
he's not a dumb kid.
He's not whatsoever.
I'm talking academically, he has a 3.0.
Yeah, yeah. From what I understand, he did get accepted coming out of high school into an Ivy League school. So definitely a bright kid.
I just think he made some mistakes early on in his life. We are allowed to do dumb stuff sometimes.
Right.
You know, he had never lived the crab legs things down. I think he should embrace it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he'll probably end up with a crab legs endorsement or something.
As soon as I get into camp, the first thing that I would do, you know, the rookies make you bring donuts. I bring everybody crab legs.
Right, exactly.
I'm a big Jameis Winston fan. I think he's going to be a lot better than Marcus Mariota. I don't think that Marcus Mariota is going to have I think he's going to be a journeyman. I think that Oregon's offense, that Chip Kelly style, is not NFL suited.
Right.
You see what they tried with the Wildcat. How long has that lasted?
Right. Now, here's the thing, though. I don't know that a college quarterback coming from that type of system is NFL ready. I agree with that. However, what you can't measure is the internal the internal wherewithal, if you will, of somebody to change and to grow and to mature into what it takes to be successful at the NFL level if you're not playing at a Chip Kelly offense. For example, high school kids necessarily don't run that fast pace up to him. They may run a spread or a version, but at some point they probably had to adapt to their college environment.
Yeah.
And because they were able to do that, maybe they can adapt to the NFL environment as well. You just can't measure what's on the inside of somebody, and that's what's going to really determine Marcus Mariota's success, is if he can adapt and change to what is required to be a successful NFL quarterback.
Everything that you said is completely true. But the one thing that I say, everything is right. You know, we've had Steve McNair. You know, when he came out of Alcorn State, he was almost throwing underhand.
Exactly.
But the sky was his potential, and the sky was the limit for him.
Right.
But I wouldn't spend that money on Marcus Mariota for him to go sit on the bench and wait 3 or 4 years. You're not going to waste a draft pick that high.
Right. No, there's no way. If I'm in that top two position, I'm taking Jameis Winston. If he's gone, then I'm not going to take Mariota that high.
No.
Because of the learning curve.
Because I don't have the time for it.
You don't. You got to win now in this league.
If I'm telling you, if I was the second pick is Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee. Yeah. I would I'd give Philadelphia. I'd call them. You obviously want him.
Yeah.
What you gonna give me?
Yeah, I definitely would try to trade down there, especially they've got Mettenberger there at Tennessee.
What you gonna give me?
Right.
I need draft picks. I need players. I need cash.
Yeah.
What you gonna give me? You want it.
Right.
Like I will, and I'd be so slick that, and I won't give it to nobody but you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think Chip Kelly, what he's showing is that he's probably willing to to give up a lot to get up there. But we'll see. It'll be a fun draft.
You know what I would do? I would, one of my future aspirations in later on in this life is to be an NFL general manager.
I always wanted to do that as well.
I'm telling you, man, I could change an organization, boy.
Right.
I'm telling you, I could change an organization. And I would, if I was the Tennessee Titans, and first of all, Tampa Bay is going to take Famous Jameis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a done deal.
Why not? But the first thing I would do, I would tell everybody, if you want this number two pick, call me.
Right.
Who want Marcus? Who give me the most?
How bad do you want it?
How bad? Because we don't want it.
Right.
We don't want it. What you going to do with it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't make him feel unwanted, but I would let it be known that.
Right.
You can get it.
Right. And there's always some little cat and mouse games with that where you have to give off the appearance that you want him just so the value will go up and all that kind of stuff.
It doesn't seem like anybody wants him but Philly.
I know. And I think Tennessee's going to have to up their game on giving off that perception that we may take this guy, because otherwise the value of the trade is going down.
They're making their organization rounds after the combine. Jameis was in Tampa Bay.
There for a while. Yeah,
and they said Mariota is scheduled to be there in I want to say April-ish, somewhere around there. Jameis is number one, and y'all gonna have the rest.
And
he's only number one if you need a quarterback, though.
Yeah, he is, and. He's actually, him and Marcus are both training at the same facility out in San Diego with a good friend of mine, George Whitfield. And I know George.
That's the big quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. George is from Maslin.
Yeah?
Yeah, George is from Maslin.
I did it up.
Yeah, good friend of mine. We actually played together at Tiffin University.
Okay, we're going to have to get George to call in.
Yeah,
we're going to
get George on the show, man.
Be
definitely.
Big time.
Yeah. But I know George knows his stuff, and he's going to have those guys ready. So that's why I'm not really ready to throw Marcus out just yet, just because I know the coaching.
I wonder what was that you know they went down to the University of Michigan and trained with what is Harbaugh
up there with Harbaugh doing chalk talk and stuff. I don't know what.
Well,
what
since
that
when
is.
Did he become a scholar?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, really, I'm not trying to knock him.
Right.
He had a lot of success in Stanford.
Yeah.
He could never. get that national championship. But, you know, Andrew Luck, he had a lot of success.
Right.
But when did he become a football scholar?
I don't know.
Because his father?
I don't know what that visit was about.
I mean, really. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I wish him the best, man.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be fun to see how it plays. I wish my Browns could get up there and get Jameis, but, you know, we'll probably do something stupid again with our first-round picks.
What, real quick, they just picked up a quarterback that they don't need. What's the Browns?
McCown, yeah, Luke McCown.
I'm from Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
He was sitting in Jameis's way.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of there. Send him to Cleveland. You know. Oh, gosh. You know, the Browns can't even get the logo thing correct.
That was embarrassing. I didn't know what they were going to do, but that was embarrassing. All they did was put brighter orange paint.
It's a clown show, man. That's why I have all this gray hair now, Steve. Life of a Browns fan.
Tell everybody where they can keep this conversation going on with me. Get with you. Get all your social media stuff out there.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at JLuke777. You can look me up on Facebook, just Jamal Luke. Instagram, JLuke777. So, you know, definitely look forward to keeping conversations going. Everybody that tuned in, it's been fun. I look forward to speaking with you guys, hopefully outside of here as well. And Steve, thanks for having me on, man. It's been real.
Thank you for sitting here and talking sports with me.
Anytime.
Man. You
anytime.
Are more than welcome. You are in the sporting goods family.
Appreciate it.
And anytime you you feel like talking, come on.
Absolutely, man.
First, Miss Mullins, get better. See you next week. Yellow Sky Foundation. Look it up. Google it. Support her. And I am your sports guru, Steve Hartley. You can find me Twitter. I think I'm your sports guru. Facebook, your sports guru. Find me on Instagram. Follow us on Just Talk Radio. Blog Talk rebroadcast on Monday. If you want to hear me, I'm out there. I thank you all for your support, and I will see you in a minute. Have a great day.